Good evening. It's wonderful to be back. My daughter's making another appearance. I thought we'd lost her for the evening. There we go. So we are now but 2 weeks away from Christmas. Decorations are up everywhere. The children are all excited. I have 4 of them, and they're already driving us mad. We all have lots of parties to go to. And the shops, well, they are incredibly busy. Everyone seems to be a lot happier at this time of year. And this is all good and well. But does this yearly routine undermine how significant and how mind-boggling the truth of Christmas actually is? I do not think any of us here can truly grasp what we are going to be celebrating together over the coming weeks. The truth of Christmas is simply colossal. This is not just the season to be jolly, to share goodwill and good tidings, as nice as these things are and seem to be. Christmas is all about God. God himself. Remembering that the creator of all things, the eternal, the all-powerful, omnipresent, all-knowing, King of kings, manifested himself as an infant. God became a babe. As Mary sat holding her newborn child on that first Christmas, she was looking into the eyes of the eternal creator of everything. This truth is simply beyond our understanding. That God became flesh. And he dwelt among us. Emmanuel. The impact of such an event changed the world forever. It was as momentous an occasion as creation itself. And this is what Matthew is showing us here in this first chapter of his gospel. Throughout this first chapter, we have echoes of Genesis. The word genealogy used in verse 1 of the chapter is in fact the Greek for Genesis or origin. So here we have a new beginning. The arrival of the promised Messiah. One that would free the world from its curse. Here in Matthew chapter 1, we have the origin of Jesus as a man. And it starts here with his genealogy. In the Old Covenant, Jewish ancestry was inextricably linked with God's promises to his people. So the Jews kept extensive genealogies to support their heritage and thus their claims to be children, descendants of Abraham, and thus children of the all-important covenant. Matthew taps into this fascination here by giving us the genealogy of Jesus at the beginning of chapter 1 to show us, the reader, that Jesus is in fact a descendant of King David and Abraham, and thus rightful and legitimate heir to the throne. We are being shown here that Christ is the fulfillment. He is the fulfillment of all the prophecy that went before. The genealogy tells us that he was born of a woman, fulfilling Genesis 3:15. He's from the line of Abraham, Genesis 12:33. He's a descendant of Isaac, Genesis 17:9. He will be heir to King David's throne, 2 Samuel 7. Christ is the fulfillment. And in him, we welcome a new era. A story that begins with an angelic announcement of conception, which we find in our reading today, verse 20 and 21. I'll read it back. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now this announcement covers two most important truths. One, that the Lord Jesus Christ took on flesh as he was born in flesh. And two, that his birth was miraculous. Mary was a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not to say by any means that Mary was sinless in any way. Mary, you could argue, was favoured by God, and that he chose her for the task. But I must be clear here that she was an ordinary, sinful human being, inheriting her innate sin from both of her parents as a daughter of Adam. Only Jesus Christ was miraculously conceived, in complete union with the divine. Only he was born of a virgin. And thus only he was born without sin. Jesus is and was the only human being to live a sinless life. And he had to be, so he could be presented as the perfect sacrifice for those who have faith in him. I want us to go back quickly to verses 18 and 19. We can see that Mary was pledged or betrothed to Joseph prior to the pregnancy. Being betrothed is different to the modern day tradition of engagement. This was legally binding. It was a pledge. Mary and Joseph were to all intents and purposes married at this point in our reading. Sexual unfaithfulness at this stage was treated as adultery. And Mary, being over 3 months pregnant at this time, would surely have been punished by death if Joseph made a public accusation against her. But by his patience, Joseph shows godly wisdom here. And notice, this is even before the angel of the Lord appeared and told him of the unique situation. I want you to ask yourselves this evening, how would you be feeling now if you were in Joseph's shoes? Would you have looked to resolve things as quietly? You are betrothed, and your wife-to-be returns from a 3-month trip away with her cousin, and she is pregnant. What would you have done? Most of us would have caused a storm. I'm sure all of us would have reacted terribly. But notice, Joseph is considerate here. He is patient. He did not act impulsively or recklessly. Despite the perceived evil that he could see before him, he remained calm and waited. And there is a lesson to be had here from this. You could assume, as an obedient, godly man, Joseph would have prayed about the situation. He would have presented the matter before God, asking him what to do. We can all learn a lot from this. As we pray each day for our loved ones who are yet to know the Lord. As we hear of unfaithful behaviour. When we see evil in other people. We must be patient and know that the Lord honours and answers prayer. God rewards Joseph for his patience here with a direct answer in verse 21. The angel tells Joseph that he will have a son and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Let us look at the name Jesus together. Jesus, Jehovah saves. Jesus means Saviour. Jesus was a common name of the day. Many, many children would have been called it. It has the same meaning as Joshua from the Old Testament. But God the Son chose this name, Jesus. Why? Because it refers to his office as Saviour. Because he saves us from the guilt of sin. Romans 8:1. For there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. He saves us from the control sin has on our lives by outpouring God the Holy Spirit into our hearts. And we are sanctified by him. He saves us from this sinful well by preparing a place for us in heaven. And he saves us from the consequences of sin, which is death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the power of our Saviour. This is what he can do. This is why he chose the name Jesus. Do you know him this evening? Is he your Jesus? Is he your Saviour? If you are burdened tonight with various trials, if your conscience is weighing you down, if the evil one is telling you that you are not good enough even to be at this place of worship this evening, if Satan is reminding you of all your past deeds, your past misdemeanors, and continually telling you that you are not good enough to be a child of God, as you look at yourself today, can you see your perverse lusts, your greed, and your pride, and the damage that these things have caused to your lives and the lives of others around you? Do these thoughts humble you before a most holy and perfect God? Do you sink in your chair with the guilt of your shortfalls? Do you think you have sullied yourselves beyond repair? Are you battling this week with awful thoughts and desires? Do you worry that you have committed the unforgivable sin? Despite many years, even decades of professing Christ, are you still battling with temptation? Are you here tonight seeking assurance? But if the answer is yes to any of these things, know that Jesus is the name that saves. Jesus is the name that can take all of this away from you. If you accept him into your life with repenting heart, it's gone. The Son of God chose the name Jesus for this reason. Is he your Saviour? Understand this Christmas that in humility, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords took the office of Saviour. So that those of you who desire salvation may come to the Father with great confidence this evening. God chose this name for himself because he delights to show mercy and grace. He delights to give you what you do not deserve. The unimaginable peace of knowing that your sins are forgiven. As far as from the east is to the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. This gift can only be found in Jesus. For only he has paid for it in full on Calvary's hill. I plead with you. I beg with you to come to him afresh this Christmas and accept this gift of himself. This is the season to be jolly, to share goodwill and good tidings. But do not be fooled, as most of our society will be over the coming weeks. Do not sit here this Christmas trusting in the notions of all these nice Christmassy things, the human conceptions of peace and goodwill to all men. All these things, they're mere notions. They will soon be thrown out with the dried up old Christmas tree and the turkey leftovers. They'll be gone just in time for the January sales, where people will all be fighting over cheap tellies in Asda again. Trust simply and totally in Jesus. For he and he alone is the source of all God's goodness, of all God's grace and all God's mercy. He is Jehovah's salvation. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Perfectly man. God in human flesh and blood, who grew tired and hungry. He cried and laughed. He felt pain. All these human experiences he took on himself from the moment he was conceived of the Virgin Mary, so he could know the trials of living on a fallen world, and thus can sympathise with each one of us when we face the same trials. As fully man, he could pay the ultimate price for man's sin. For your sin, if you repent of it and give yourself to him as your Lord and your Saviour. This, and only this, is what Christmas is about. But do not forget either, Jesus in the flesh is also very God. He has all power from his heavenly throne, and he can see into your hearts and into your minds this evening. He knows what each one of you is thinking right now. If you know him as your Lord and Saviour, you have absolutely nothing to fear this Christmas, for you are his, secured and bought and paid for by his unrivaled and irreversible passion. This is glad tidings. This is the good news of Christmas, that God came down to save us. That is what we should be thankful for. Amen. We'll sing our final hymn. Hymn 214. See, he lies there in the manger. who once made the earth and sky. Down from heaven, he's come a stranger, newly born yet born to die. Hands almighty now lie helpless round his mother's finger curled. Lips so gracious, now yet speechless, soon will speak to all the world.